RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Run for your lives.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
Friday morning, 10 o'clock. What's up, Richmond? Michael Phillips, MP on the mic. That's the show. I'm MP. Be with you until noon. AWOD Radio takes over. Grant and Danny drive you home. Spring break has begun. It's a big sports weekend. NASCAR's coming to town. We got an eclipse on Tuesday. Hazy, I just learned this. You've seen an eclipse? You've actually, like, full on, the real one. Fake one that we get. We get a fake one.
You get a fake one?
Yeah, we're not getting an eclipse on Tuesday.
So what happens over here?
It gets kind of dark. It doesn't get all the way dark. We're not in the path of totality.
I see.
So, like, the moon will mostly cover the sun, but that little bit still gets the job done. We had this whenever the last one was.
Mm-hmm.
We had this, right? You go outside and you're like, it's a little dark. Like, kind of feels like sunset, but it's not dark. You saw the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. It, like, got dark and cold. It was really weird.
See, like... I got to go see one of these.
You need the glasses. Watch out.
Well, I thought you didn't need the glasses when it was like all the way dark.
But you want to watch it happening.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah, that's what we get. We get the glasses one. I've got the glasses somewhere. I wonder if I can use my glasses from last time. You probably can't. That's probably a bad idea. Reusing the glasses. I don't know.
I can't decide. I don't know. Do they
you
expire?
Told me, though, like, some kids are getting out of school for the eclipse?
That's what I've heard.
That's... No. Yeah. What are we doing?
Well, they said it's going to get dark on their walk home, and then they'll be like, oh, where am I going? It's dark.
How long does the eclipse last? Like, 7 minutes?
It doesn't feel like long enough for them to get very lost. I'll be honest.
We can't run that risk.
Kids move fast, though.
Kids move fast. Sun moves fast, too. Moon moves fast, too. I don't know. I got eclipse envy. I want to see one of these eclipses at some point. Because, what you are in for a massive letdown on Tuesday.
Mm.
If you think what we're getting is anything near what you saw last time.
Oh.
Get your expectations down now.
Thank you. Yeah. I'll try and get a little sad about it.
Please lower them. Get sad. Yeah, absolutely. We'll set the mood here right out of the gate. This is crushing disappointment.
Crushing disappointment Friday.
Crushing disappointment Friday. Let's go. Only half of our Fun Friday team, Megan, has NASCAR duties tonight and this weekend. NASCAR rolls through Richmond Raceway. Tickets still available. The 125 tonight, the 250 tomorrow, and then the 400 on Sunday night. That's the big one. That's about 250 more, 275 more than tonight's race.
Is that horses?
If you're keeping track. Horsepower. I believe that's number of laps.
Oh.
It's either laps or miles. I always get them confused. Because if the track is bigger than a mile, the number is the number of miles they drive. The Daytona 500 is like 250 laps because each lap is 2 miles. No, it's 500 miles, which is 250 laps.
Okay.
Because each lap is 2 miles.
But so we call it
the Daytona 500 is 500 miles. In Richmond, the Toyota owner's 400 is 400 laps, which will actually be less than 400 miles because a lap at Richmond is not a mile. It's a short track.
How long is the track at Richmond?
I want to say like 3/4 of a mile, 2/3 of a mile. You put me on the spot here. If you'd asked me about Lightning McQueen, I maybe would have been more in the wheelhouse, but didn't quite happen that way. I believe, and we can find this out easily enough.
3/4 of a mile.
3/4 of a mile?
Yeah.
3/4 of a mile, D-shaped oval, 60 feet wide with a 10-foot apron.
A D-shaped oval.
A D-shaped oval. You want to be in the turns. That's where they bang into each other. That's what I know. That's what I know of NASCAR. If you go, that's where you want to sit. I also say that I say this to everybody, but you can tell by now I'm not Mr. NASCAR. You got to go once. If you've never been, you got to go once. It's a good show. It's noisy. It's loud. And it's great. It's a fantastic show that they put on. If you've never been, you should get out there either Easter night or Saturday night. Or tonight. Tonight's the quickie, the 125, the short race. That's all right. Get out there, have some fun, get home in time to watch some basketball. Got some good basketball tonight. For my money, tonight's games are way better than last night's games. And last night delivered. Last night, fantastic show. UConn advancing, of course. They are dominant. They're a machine. Nobody can touch them. You got UConn, Illinois. That's going to be good on Saturday. And then end of the game, North Carolina watching Alabama chip away at that lead. Alabama did everything right. Great win for them. And then Clemson prevailing over Arizona in the West as well. You're going to have Alabama, Clemson. Feels like football season, except one of those teams is going to the basketball Final Four. But for my money, tonight's games are way better. We'll dive into that. I'm sure we'll take that on with Gary Hess as well. But we start with this. It's baseball season. Yesterday was opening day in Major League Baseball, and I am a casual baseball fan. I used to be a hardcore baseball fan. Like, I used to be big into baseball. I probably could have named, 29 opening day starters. So I pulled it up yesterday. I looked at the list. I don't know a lot of these opening day starters. And it's like, well, am I bailing on baseball? Is baseball bailing on me? What is it? Because I loved baseball last year with the pitch clock. I think it's gotten better than ever. I think baseball's got a very real marketing problem, though. They're not producing celebrities. They're not producing breakthrough athletes. I got my Washington Post the other day with a special commemorative poster to mark the beginning of the NASCAR season. This is a special commemorative poster. It's just an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that's kind of glossy.
It is.
With a big picture of, that's K-Bear Ruiz.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm vaguely aware that he plays for the Nationals.
Right.
Who's hanging this up on their wall?
No.
Oh, a K-Bear Ruiz special edition poster. Wow. Well, I got to hang that up. That's a collector's item. Did anybody do anything other than throw this away? I don't know.
You brought it in?
I don't think so. I brought it in. I'm throwing it away after this. We're not hanging up the K-Bear Ruiz special edition poster.
Yeah, it's not even a poster, really. That's an exaggeration.
It's not a poster. That's not the Nationals' fault, although the Nationals are certainly making enough money to provide us with more poster than this. Concession costs now this season, $7.99 for a hot dog at Nationals Park this year. Here's the thing about baseball that I used to love and still love, and the Flying Squirrels still have. You can go to a Flying Squirrels game, and it's not like, this is our night out for the month. Like, this is, it is not like we went to the Altria and saw Hamilton. Like, man, we spent a lot of money, but it was a big to-do, and we got dressed up, and it was a thing, and we went to a nice dinner. Like, you can go to a baseball game for $10. Might be $11 now. You can get a bag of peanuts. You'd be happy at a baseball game. Get a drink, get a beer. What I like about the Squirrels is they know I'm only going to buy one, so they make it as big as humanly possible. Like, I'll have one beer. That's 73 ounces. Ah, you get me. Good work. Like, I was only getting one. Touche. You made it happen. That was the amount I wanted. But for the Nationals, $16.99 for a beer. $7.99 for a hot dog. The tickets are generally $20 and up. It's not accessible anymore. I lived in Pittsburgh when I did an internship at the newspaper there, the Post-Gazette. I would go to Pirates games like almost every night when they were home. And the Pirates were bad. It's just fun to go to a baseball game. They had $5 outfield tickets. You could bring in a bag of peanuts you bought from the street vendor outside. At like less than $10, lovely evening at the ballpark. That's, of course, a great stadium. That doesn't happen anymore. It's an outing to go to a baseball game now, in Major League Baseball. And they're not producing stars. And that's partially on them, and that's partially on ESPN, which used to devote a chunk of its day to baseball, and that's gone now, right? SportsCenter used to be largely baseball formatted this time of year, and now it's not. Now they don't mention it. There aren't the signature shows anymore. If you want baseball, you have to turn on the MLB Network. You don't get baseball on ESPN, on FS1. They show the occasional game, but they're not in the business of making stars. Baseball's here. Nobody cares. And that's an issue for baseball. They got to look at this and say, why do I not know who the opening day starters are? These should be your big stars. I know Josiah Gray was the opening day starter in D.C. He's young. He's awesome. He was at the All-Star game. But some of these guys, Corbin Burns was the opening day starter in Baltimore. Not a star. If I walked into Royal Farms in Baltimore and he was standing there getting some fried chicken, I would have no idea who he is. He would have to come up to me and say, hey, Michael, I'm Corbin Burns. I was the opening day starter for the Baltimore Orioles. And they're a good baseball team, and I want to watch them. And baseball's a good product now with the pitch clock and the speed. It's worth watching, but you have to ask, why are they not producing stars? And how can they produce some household names? Because in this NFL is everything world, they're not cutting through. And it was opening day yesterday, and I'm guessing a lot of you didn't watch a minute of baseball. I'm guessing a lot of you didn't listen to a minute of baseball. That's a problem for baseball because America's going to march on. But that's a long-term problem for baseball, which needs to find a way to attract a younger generation of fans. We say this during the World Series every year. They start the World Series games at 8:30 p.m. Great for ratings right now. Kids can't watch. Kids can't get hooked. NFL, 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Everybody can watch the NFL. It's the most accessible product in sports. College basketball, they're playing these games during the day. Not all the games, but enough of them. They're hooking the next generation of fans. The Dodgers have the highest payroll in baseball this year. Opening day starter, Tyler Glasnow. I don't know who Tyler Glasnow is. I host a sports talk show. You see the problem here. I could have told you the Yankees opening day starter was Gerrit Cole, but he's hurt. Nestor Cortez was in. Again, he could walk into the studio, say, I'm Nestor Cortez. I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, great. I don't know. Do they need a Netflix show? Do they need an HBO show? They got to do something at this point because baseball's losing its relevance rapidly. We'll keep an eye on that this season because I like the product. I like baseball, but dang if it's not in its own way a lot of the time. All right, Gary Hesse on the other side. It's a fun Friday. We'll have fun because that's what we do on Friday. Even though Megan's not here, we'll plow through. We'll have fun. Gary Hess on the other side, off and running. MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. It's Friday. That means our guy Gary Hess is here, sports director, 910 The Fan.
What's happening?
You had a theory for me. I'm talking about how I've never heard of any of these opening day starters yesterday in baseball.
Right.
You think it's a hitter-centric game now.
I do. I do. I think they've done so much, you know, and there are pitchers that are very good. First, couple things. First of all, with the advent of the, what do they call that? The all the computerized stuff.
Sure, the analytics, the money
ball. The analytics, you know, the starting pitcher.
Launch angle.
The starting pitcher who goes eight innings.
Yeah.
That's over. You know, now it's, you know, you're going to be, you know, maybe five innings and then four relief pitch or whatever. But you know, the hitters are out there every day. Home runs are where it's at. You know, if you think about it, the Aaron Judges, even Juan Soto, especially being in Yankee pinstripes, there are guys, most of the people who are the faces of the league are offensive players now, not pitchers. That would be my theory on that.
Right. Basketball now is either a three-point shot or a dunk. No other shots are like, nobody shoots a 15-foot jumper
right.
anymore.
The mid-range game is a lost art.
Right. Baseball's the same. You're not trying to double. You're either trying to home run or strike out.
Exactly. But yeah, I will say the stolen base came back into vogue last year with the larger base.
Love it.
Love it too. I love that. You know, you think about it, what Ronald Acuna went, what, 40-70 last year?
Yeah.
You know, 40-70, that's pretty strong right there. So, you know, now that you got the speed guys can steal bases and make things happen, home runs are still the thing. You know, those are the stars of the game.
I want to commend baseball. Last year was a good year for baseball. The pitch clock, bringing stolen bases back. Lots of very good things happened in baseball last year.
The best thing I heard about baseball was Ron Darling, who I think is a great analyst.
Yes.
Ron Darling said watching baseball, this was last year, said watching baseball this year reminds me of the games when I pitched in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's just the pace of the game has gone. And the pace of the game, I like it. You know, sometimes when the game is tied in the ninth inning, I wish the clock would stretch out just a little bit to, you know, allow the drama and all that. But by and large, that was a great decision for baseball. And they've shortened the clock, I believe, by 2 seconds this year with runners on base. It's even less now.
I'd love to put the pitch clock on college basketball, go to the monitors in the last minute.
Oh, my gosh. That's, no kidding.
That's out of control.
No kidding. It's like they're afraid to make. Sometimes they, if you notice, they don't even bother to make a call.
They just
blow the whistle and go straight to the monitor.
That blows my mind. There's not even a call on the field. There's not a like, here's what we're checking. It's just like,
right.
Well, we're going to the monitor, so why should I say anything?
I remember a few pretty well-known ACC officials from a generation ago that would have just ticked them off to no end.
Sure. And the NFL's talking about doing this thing where you can review roughing the passer, but the rule is you can only review it if they throw the flag. You can't review a non-flag to become a flag. Well, what do you think the referees are going to do?
They're going to throw flags on everything.
Because then they can get bailed out.
Right.
But if you don't throw a flag and it turns out to be a penalty, you can't fix it.
Right. Isn't that the same way with the targeting rule in college football?
Once it's been called, they can go look at it.
Right, so they call it all the time, and then they go, nope, that was not targeting.
Actually, we have spent 4 minutes of our lives here.
Upon further review, that wasn't targeting, so carry on.
Shot clock on the replay. If you can figure it out in 15 seconds, we'll figure it out. If you can't figure it out, we're going to keep moving.
Why isn't there officials sitting at the sideline,
yep,
watching it in real time and,
yep,
looking at it on the fly instead of the actual game officials having it? Why isn't there a fourth official sitting there serving that role?
And they have an alternate official at every game.
Give him something to do.
Did you see what happened at the NC State women's game in the first round? They had the three officials and the backup official. At halftime, one of the officials got yanked from the game. And the backup, you know, they put in another official. It turns out one of the officials had gone to the opposing school, the school of one of the teams playing, and nobody figured it out until halftime.
Oh my god!
billion dollar tournament, Gary. How does that happen
in the NCAA tournament?
Billion dollar tournament, Gary.
Oh my gosh! I had not heard that. That is amazing.
Gary Hess hanging out with us as he does on Fridays. We built this whole nice bracket, all these games. They're a lot of fun. And then at the end, we just give the trophy to UConn, I guess?
Well, I'm beginning to believe that the only team that can beat UConn is UConn.
Yeah.
And
Illinois can run. They can get up and down and play some ball.
They can score with anybody.
This will be UConn's first test for sure on tomorrow.
I think Illinois is capable of making Connecticut break a sweat. You know, San Diego State hung around for a little while, and then early in the second half, I turned away for like 10 minutes, and it was a 9-point game, and I came back, and it was a 30-point game. I was like, what happened?
Their average margin of victory is like 26.5.
Yeah, their winning streak, you know, if you take the UCLA wooden run in the 60s and, you know, out of the equation.
Yeah.
Their NCAA tournament win streak is getting into historic proportions.
There you go. Have you ever seen a solar eclipse, Gary? These are the important questions of the day.
Have I ever seen a solar eclipse, or have I ever been around when one has happened?
Gary's just staying inside. Catch the next one.
It's not for me.
I have kind of, you know, it's like peripheral vision, you know, before they had, you know. You know, I'm not staring into the eclipse for hours on end. You know, so.
Some kids are getting out of school for it.
I saw that. Chesterfield School's getting out 3.5 hours early. And Henrico keeping their kids later, keeping the middle school kids later.
Is that right?
Yeah, the middle school kids
We're on spring break. Oh, no, it's not spring break because it's the next week,
It's a week from Monday.
Oh, it's not next week. It's the next week.
Yeah, so everybody's back in school. It's first day. So Henrico and Richmond. Henrico, it's middle schoolers. Richmond middle and high schoolers are dismissing 10 minutes later than usual so the kids aren't outside. John Reed told me this morning, he goes, that's because you tell a 10-year-old not to stare at the sun. What are they going to do? They're going to stare at the sun. I said, not just 10-year-olds, pal.
Wait a second. Do they know it's not even happening here? We're not even, like, eclipsing.
We're getting the partial.
We're getting mooned. Like, we're not getting the whole show.
Right. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell myself
either.
Out of
an abundance of caution. To me, that's the only phrase I ever hear from school systems anymore.
I mean, we've canceled for wind and rain so far this year, but not snow, because there's been no snow.
Right.
Because I don't think it snows anymore. But right. that's a topic for the other station you're right. on, yes. not this station.
It used to snow. I remember back in the day when it snowed and we walked uphill both ways. Oh, my gosh.
Gary Hess joins us on Fridays. Kenny Brooks leaving Virginia Tech women's basketball for the SEC, as everybody does, and George Amor's following. I don't think I need you in here to say, yeah, duh, but that's not a slam dunk job there at Virginia Tech. You don't get any of the athletes. You got to recruit to Blacksburg. That's a dangerous game they're playing right now.
It is a dangerous game they're playing. The other thing I'm going to say is I've seen some social media posts about calling it a shocking move.
People are very mad.
I don't know why anybody is shocked.
The fan base is mad.
I don't know why anybody is shocked. Your two best players two of the three best players the program's ever had.
Yeah.
Are exiting the program. You're 55 years old. Why would you not make that? Why would this not be the time you make a move?
I think they thought because he had come from JMU, like he was going to stay forever. Nobody stays forever. That's the harsh reality of it. We'll play the Shaka Smart clip on the other side at Marquette. He was talking about leaving NC State or leaving for NC State, and now they didn't consider it. Shaka had built that reputation by the end. Well, he's never leaving. Nobody never leaves.
I will say this. I never once thought Shaka wasn't going to leave at some point. Never once. I think Jeff Capel came here. I knew he was good. I knew he viewed it as a stepping stone job. Obviously Anthony Grant viewed this as a stepping stone job.
Sure, and Odom does too, of course.
And I know Shaka Smart got them to the Final Four, but I still never once thought he didn't view it as a stepping stone job.
Mike
Rhodes,
well. Yes.
I thought was going to stay.
That's you and I are on the same page here. When Mike Rhodes left, what I wrote in the newspaper that day was, all right, nobody's ever going to stay because this was the guy. If there was ever a guy who was going to stay, it was this guy.
Right. And then it's like you say all the right things. You know, he's pulled back home to his Pennsylvania roots. And, you know, it's like, but you know what? It's a Big Ten job. It's a lot more money. And boom, he's gone. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, the days of the Mike Krzyzewskis of the world and others like him are over. Because, you know, nobody's going to stay at the same school for 40 years anymore, except for the coach at Oakland.
What a great story.
Oh, my gosh.
And the Long Beach State guy who got fired but just keeps coaching basketball teams.
Right. That was the guy at Gonzaga before
Mark Few.
Before Mark Few.
Mark Few's a lifer, too. You're not – those are very, very rare.
I think at this point, if Mark Few was going to leave Gonzaga, it would have happened.
And in football, it's going to be even more rare just because that's a brutal gig. Like, 90 kids, re-recruit them all every year. Nobody's got the patience.
And let me
for
tell
that.
You something. We're seeing this also trickle down to the high school level. You know, Tom Hall just stepped down at Manchester after a 25-year run.
These are tough gigs.
You know, and you think about it, you know, now the longest tenured coach in the local area for high school football is Lauren Johnson.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry, Billy Mills.
Okay.
Billy Mills, and Billy Mills is a throwback.
Down in Dinwiddie, yeah.
Down in Dinwiddie. Billy Mills is a throwback. But that's 05. It's not like he's been here for, you know, because he's getting ready for his 20th season.
Benedictine, just churning through basketball coaches.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
That's a scene.
Yeah, Warren Rutledge was there forever. It's just like the revolving door.
A different world now. Different world.
It's just the job kind of chews people up and spits them out. In college level, dealing with NIL and the portal, and I'm not going to get into what's right and what's wrong and what should be and what shouldn't be. What I'm saying is, for coaches, I can see why they don't last.
We'll save that for another day. Gary Hess, Sports Director, 910 The Fan. Always appreciate you dropping
Always
by.
Always great to spend some time. Happy Easter, folks.
Happy Easter back to you. Back with more after this. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Yeah. 1032, you're listening to MP on the mic. It's a Friday morning, March 29th. Gary Hess just dropped a Carly Simon reference there on the way out. My generation recognizes Carly Rae Jepsen, but to each their own. We can all have our famous Carlys. iCarly, lots of Carlys to go around.
One Carly for each generation.
One Carly per generation. These are the rules. We keep tabs on that. All right, this is going to be clip 7 here, because I promised this with Gary, so we'll get straight to this. Shaka Smart, when he was here, flirted with a lot of jobs, which at the time was always presented as, I don't know what you're talking about, leading to, most famously, somebody at Marquette leaking that he was coming to Marquette, which led to like all the local TV stations camping out in front of the gym, except he was never coming to Marquette, and he didn't come to Marquette, which is some of the greatest video of all time. He ends up going to Texas, of course, now at Marquette. He's got the 2 seed. They play today against NC State. I'm looking forward to that game. But Shaka Smart was asked, how close were you to taking the job at NC State? And he very, very dismissively, no, not close at all. Joe Giglio, he does a podcast down in the Triangle in Raleigh. Ovies and Giglio, love their show. We hung out with them at the ACC tournament in D.C. He broke down what happened between Shaka Smart and NC State.
WL, AD at the time, had other people ahead of Shaka, but this was someone she identified. Because remember, recruiting really mattered to Debbie. VCU became a team that went from the first 4 to the final 4. But all the while, NC State's search remained open.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why was that?
Why? Why would it?
Logically, why was that?
Yeah.
He had said, I will talk to you, but not until the team has been eliminated, basically. Not until my season's over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So yes, fair enough. You weren't close. But the conversations that you had with NC State and WL led to a significant raise for him at VCU and a practice facility at VCU. So much to the point that when I went and saw Will Wade 6 years later, I texted Debbie a picture and she goes, oh, I see you're in front of my practice facility. And yes, when Debbie said at the press conference where she announced hiring Mark Gottfried, when she talked about sabotage, Shaka was the coach allegedly who Gary Williams reached out to and committed the sabotage. So for all of history, we will have the sabotage comment from Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the coach that she was speaking of.
So Gary Williams gets in Shaka's ear and tells him not to go to NC State because he's got a feud with Debbie Yao. That's the good stuff. Debbie Yao, of course, previously athletic director at Maryland, where Gary Williams was a famous coach. They butted heads. Now he's on the phone with Shaka telling him not to go to NC State. And obviously, you always know, generally speaking, there's a little more fire there than the smoke indicates when you've got these things, when they come leaking out. And they thought they were getting Shaka Smart. And then VCU makes the Final Four, and all of a sudden, they're not getting Shaka Smart. And I don't... Look, all I know is the VCU perspective on this. So to me, it's fascinating to hear the NC State perspective on this, which is, we're just waiting for our guy, and then our guy didn't show. I can tell you the VCU perspective on this, which is, they didn't think they were going to lose him to NC State. At no point did they think that was an actual threat. Whether Gary Williams was a factor in that or not, I don't know. I love that the athletic director accused him of sabotage in the press conference introducing a coach. Vibes of Ben Johnson to the Commanders, right? The Detroit story there is, he was never going to leave. And the Commanders story, we were waiting for our guy. He said he's going to finish his season. Then we were going to talk to him. We were going to make him our guy. All of a sudden, he's out. Was somebody misled either way? I don't know, right? Ben Johnson says, I'll talk to you after the season's over. If that gets interpreted as, I'll take your job after the season's over, you know, who's that on? And these are people who haven't played this game. Ben Johnson hadn't played this game in Detroit. Shaka Smart had not yet played this game. came from an assistant at Florida, had never been a head coach, with rumors about where he'd go or where he'll leave to. So that was all new for Shaka Smart at the time. Got the practice facility built, of course, the BDC down there behind the Siegel Center. Beautiful facility, still serving the school well today. And I would be jazzed if Shaka wins tonight slash all of it. Like, I'd just be happy for the dude. If you feel differently and you're a VCU fan, you may call in 833-804-0910. We'll make an exception to the phones. You can call in if you still got grudge. I just don't think anybody does. It's been so long. We've had so many coaches since then. And by the way, the next two exits after that were handled way less gracefully than Shaka's exit. You had Will Wade doing a disappearing act in the middle of the night, and then the FBI gets on his tail. Nobody's surprised by that. And then you got Mike Rhodes, and I thought Mike Rhodes was the lifer. And I think Mike Rhodes only got that job because he was perceived to be a lifer. There were better candidates available when Mike Rhodes was hired, but at the time, everybody was still reeling from Shaka. Everybody was still a little hurt about Shaka. Then everybody was really hurt about Will Wade. And then all of a sudden, you got, okay, we need our Mark Few. We need a guy who will stay here. And that was Mike Rhodes. I didn't think he was the best candidate for the job at the time, but I understood the desire to have somebody who wasn't going to leave VCU, who's going to stay there. And then he leaves. When he leaves, it's over. If Mike Rhodes leaves VCU, nobody's ever going to stay. You just make peace with that straight up. I actually remember I went down. I was working for the newspaper, and Shaka had to bring his Texas team up to play at VCU. That was part of the deal when he left. He had to come play a game at VCU. And before the season, I emailed Shaka's guy, you know, like his guy there at Texas. I said, I'd like to come down to Austin and talk to him and do a story before the game about him coming home. And he said, no worries, just call me a couple weeks before and we'll line something up. And I said, I appreciate that, but you haven't talked to him yet, have you? He said, no, but he's good about this stuff, it won't be a big deal. I said, I don't think he's going to be good about this one. That's why I'm at. Like, I'm not a plan 3 months in advance kind of guy ever in life. Like, that's why I'm reaching out to you 3 months before, is because I think he's going to be very hesitant about this. And he hits me up the next day. He said, wow, you were right. So we finally negotiate. I was down there for a Redskins Cowboys game, and I was going to swing up like after a Texas game. I was going to get to talk to Shaka, at which point like he's agreed to this, but he said no to all the other interview requests. And sure, they're playing some, I forget, Grambling State, you know, some team they're supposed to win big. Sure enough, they lose that night. And so I'm like, oh, this is, Shaka's going to be so salty. And so he does his rounds, takes him like an hour and a half to get to me. And so Shaka comes in, which I don't mind the wait at all. I'm more worried, like, is this guy going to be hot that his University of Texas team just lost to this nobody school? He comes in. Shaka's nervous. And at one point, we just chat for a minute. He says, do you think they're going to boo me? And I said, no, I think they took care of that I think Will Wade took care of that for you. I think when Will left, you got, that gave you the all clear. And he laughed, and I think that was like obviously they made life bad for him during the game, but the large majority of the fans applauded him pregame. And I think the large majority of the fans want Shaka Smart to succeed and are thankful for what he did for the program and hope he has a winner with Marquette tonight. All right, UNC last night. Look, UNC is a good basketball team and played a good basketball game, and Alabama played a really good basketball game too. And I'm not here for any talk about UNC choking. Two good teams playing well. Look, I got a problem with jacking up that three-pointer with a minute left. That's about it, though. Otherwise, UNC played well. End of the line for Armando Bacot from Richmond. Obviously was hoping for a different ending. Here's Armando Bacot after the UNC loss last night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely hurt, and I mean, I think we all are a little shocked. I mean, we don't underestimate any opponent, and I think today, I mean, it was tough, but all year we play hard, and today we play hard, and they just made more shots than us, and I mean, it's tough. losing is not the result we want, especially with just how talented we are as a team.
That's Armando Bacot from Trinity Episcopal here in Richmond. It's 68 teams in the tournament, 67 of them end their season on a loss. It's a tough way to go. It's always sudden and jarring and coming right after on that court you watch Clemson win, and you're thinking, whole world's in front of us here, right? Arizona's out. Clemson's in. We beat Clemson. We can beat Clemson. Then a couple hours later, you're headed home too. No consolation games here, no double elimination. Armando Bacot and crew, they're out as well. Here's Hubert Davis, the coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels, on a late tight loss to Alabama.
Well, I mean, always in the closing minutes, it's, you know, it comes down to a play here and there. I've talked all season about, you know, the little details that make big things happen, not just necessarily shots, rebounds, free throws, loose balls. At the end of the day, they made down the stretch more plays than us, and unfortunately, we came out on the short end.
That's Hubert Davis, North Carolina basketball head coach. He's going to take a lot of heat in North Carolina because that's how the Tar Heel fan base works. I saw a good game. Good game with two good teams playing good ball down the stretch. Hat tip to Alabama. They should have been in it to the finish last year, and certainly they're backing that up this year with their play. Alabama-Clemson, something straight out of a Saturday in the fall next week. Neither of them have ever been to a Final Four. They'll play tomorrow. Winner makes their first Final Four, and see if the ACC can continue its run. We'll continue our program, MP on the mic, right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Rolling up to the top of the hour. AWOD Radio takes over at noon, about an hour and change away from that. Grant and Danny drive you home, kickstart a big sports weekend in Richmond. NASCAR rolls into town. NASCAR at Richmond Raceway. Cup race is Sunday night, 7 o'clock. Weather looks beautiful. Conditions look good. The carburetors are ready. The mufflers are ready. The tires are ready. Going to be a fantastic weekend out at the track. They got races tonight and tomorrow as well in the lead up to NASCAR in Richmond. All right, it's been a weird week. I did the show from home on Tuesday and Thursday. First, I was sick and I didn't want to infect Odyssey Richmond. Then yesterday, had a sick kid, so I did the show from home. So we haven't had a chance to really dive into the issues of the day. We still haven't wrapped up Kate Middleton. Like, she's still kind of hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what happened. Because this was Richmond's number one Kate Middleton station for a long time.
Yes.
What happened was she was found, and she had cancer, and that was sad.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of called that towards the end. Like, however this ends will be sad.
Right.
But then, like, some people stayed on the crazy train and were like, ah, that's not her. That's an AI video.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to be clear. I'm not on that train. I think that video was her.
Okay.
And she's got cancer. And it's sad.
Yes.
But I also, then another train went the other way of like, boy, doesn't everybody feel stupid for asking where Kate Middleton was? I hope you all feel bad about yourselves.
Not on that train either.
I'm also not on that train. Mm-hmm. I think it was perfectly reasonable to wonder where one of the most important people in the world is at a given time.
Yeah.
If Joe Biden's wife disappears for 4 months and then they put out a shoddily photoshopped picture of her, that's not out of bounds.
We're going to have questions.
She's important. Like, I get that you don't pick that you get to be royalty, but you are royalty.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. And you do kind of run the country. If you're not there, I think it's fair for people to ask where you are. And if you put out a bad Photoshop picture of yourself, I think you're kind of asking for it. Now, whether she did or not, I don't know. They say she put out the picture.
They do say that.
I, you know, without putting on the tinfoil hat, who knows who put out the picture? Who knows who photoshopped the picture? Bottom line, it was messy. And I don't have a problem with people calling that out.
I would say a second set of eyes would have prevented a lot of this speculation.
It's they're worth billions of dollars.
Yeah.
They have jewels that are like the size of my head. How did we not get a second set of eyes on that?
Yeah, people edit, you know, photos for a living. You know, it's not just something that we casually do. Like, there's people who will do that for you.
Like, for $5 online.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's, yeah. You could get a VCU student to do that.
You could.
Absolutely.
Probably for free.
Wow.
Ramen.
Just for the exposure.
Yeah, exactly.
I was on the front page of the London Telegraph the other day. Oh, okay. Well, that's a good item for the resume right there. Beyonce's got a new album out today. I gotta go home and listen to the Beyonce album. Mm-hmm. It's a country album. Country music is back. You heard it here first. If Beyonce's doing a country album,
it's back.
Country's back. Ooh. I'm planting the flag, calling it country music back. I don't know if it left, but it is definitely back. If Beyonce's doing a country music album.
We're all in on this.
Is this a response to Taylor Swift changing genres?
Mm.
Like, because Taylor kind of ended up where Beyonce is.
Right.
And now Beyonce's going back to where Taylor was. They're all switching their genres all the time.
They are.
Bottom line, she's bringing country back. You heard it here first. Country music, back. That's what's important to know.
Justin Timberlake did it for bringing sexy back.
Yes.
And now Beyonce's bringing country back.
Here's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about. There was a story in the Times Dispatch that we have the worst mail delivery in America.
Rude. I see the mail people all the time. The USPS are walking around my neighborhood delivering constantly.
This is statistically speaking. Yeah. Statistically speaking, fewer letters make it on time here than anywhere else in the country.
Anywhere else?
Anywhere else in America. We're number one.
Well, I disagree with that.
I love our mail people. There's like multiples. We don't have like the same one every day, but they're always there. Uspice carriers. They've been arriving though at like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night delivering the mail.
Ooh.
And part of me is like, that's not good for you. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want to be doing this? That's not great. But then we did hotel pin trivia for a while, and I would go mail out the hotel pins. Every time I went to the post office, somebody in there was griping it, like, you guys are the worst. Like, and I always was just like, it's old people. They complain. That's what they do. But statistically speaking, the numbers don't lie. This is advanced stats, VORP and launch angle and mail delivery.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So how do you go around fixing that? I don't know.
Yeah. I would assume their answer is to hire people. Because that's always their answer.
Everyone says that.
But like, conceptually, sure, the mail is bad, but I like all the mail carriers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want this taken out on them.
They do get there.
They seem nice.
Yeah.
It's not
through
their
sleet and snow. What's the phrase?
Yeah. It's not their problem. I've been to the Postal Museum in D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pony Postal Express.
I made it a point to go to every Smithsonian. One of the Smithsonians is the Postal Museum.
That's very
in
cool.
D.C. It's actually kind of cool. It's not the worst Smithsonian. Yeah.
Do you have a worse Smithsonian?
There are bad Smithsonians. Mm. Absolutely. They're absolutely. I'm also not wild about some of the like really big Smithsonians either. Like, natural history, looking at you. Like, feels a little dated. Everybody's packed in there. You know, everything's kind of crowded. That's not my scene.
That's a fair review.
I've got favorite Smithsonians too. The one next to the White House, the Renwick Gallery. Favorite Smithsonian. You heard it here first. You never know what you're going to hear. Back with another hour. We'll talk hoops. We'll talk NASCAR. We'll get you ready for a big weekend. This is 910 The Fan. Now 105.1 FM. Flying towards the weekend on a Friday. Friday fun show. 11 o'clock this morning. Only half of the Friday fun crew is here. Hazel's here. Megan out. She has NASCAR responsibilities this weekend. Three nights of racing out at Richmond Raceway starts tonight, ends with the Toyota Owners 400 Sunday night under the lights, as they say, at Richmond Raceway. Glad they're back under the lights. Glad the weather is shaping up to be fantastic. Should be a lovely weekend out there at the track with NASCAR stars Denny Hamlin, the Pride of Chesterfield, favored to win Sunday's race, as he often shows well at Richmond. Here's how this hour is going to go. About 15 minutes, we'll wrap up arena talk. A lot of arena talk this week. My chat with Craig Hoffman on our sister station, the Team 980, yesterday. We chatted about all things. It kind of assigned the blame on what went wrong for the Alexandria Arena for the Wizards and Caps. 11:30, we'll do a little draft talk. Yesterday was an interesting day because it was Drake May's pro day at North Carolina. But the story very much remains Jaden Daniels and what he's up to. We'll dive into the college basketball world as well. Some big games tonight in college basketball. I'm excited for this one. I mean, this is as good a slate as you're going to get in the Sweet 16. If we're ranking the games worst to best, Creighton, Tennessee is probably your worst of the four games. And by the way, I'm really excited for that game, and I think it's going to be great. Top game for me is not Houston-Duke. It's Purdue-Gonzaga. I think the Zags have looked so good. I think they can hang with Purdue. Here's Gonzaga coach Mark Few in the lead up to this wasn't a given that this team was even going to be here at this point. And here they are dominating, getting ready to go against what might be the nation's best team right now. Here's Gonzaga coach Mark Few.
I take nothing for granted any of these years, but I think this one probably feels as special as any, just because, you know, we were behind the eight ball there for a while, you know, and there was a lot of doubts, and we had to really buckle down and play great down the stretch, even to get in this tournament, you know, which is, it's really, really hard to get into, and it's even harder to move on to a Sweet 16.
Yeah, what they've done, they dismantled Will Wade and McNeese State, which, by the way, I was beating the drum. I thought McNeese had a run in them. They didn't from the tip against the Zags. Then they ran Kansas out of the gym with a great strategy, pulling away in the second half against a depleted Jayhawks team. Now they got to take on Zach Edey, and if anybody can do it, it's Mark Few and it's the Zags. I'll be very curious to see what their game plan is. Nobody's had a good one for him yet. Purdue's big center, Zach Edey, he's 7'2", and they say he's even taller than that. And he's just been dominant all season long. He changes the game. He bends the game to him. Can you get him in foul trouble? Can you find a way to disrupt what he does? If anybody can do it, I think Mark Few might be that guy. The other bracket's got two great games. I'll slot his second and third. My second best game, of course, Houston taking on Duke, and then NC State Marquette. Shaka Smart trying to get back to the Elite Eight. His first Sweet 16 appearance since 2011. With VCU. So lots of great basketball on tap tonight. When we come back Monday, we'll have ourselves a Final Four. Gary Hess was in here earlier. If you missed it, grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. He pointed out for this one day, we're between the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. Today, right now, we have 12 teams. Should we name this day around 12? Now, we can't name all the days. We can't have, like, you know, a day of 48 on the second day of the tournament. But I think he's right. I think we can name this day. I think we can come up with a dozen or a 12 or a something that'll play well.
Yeah.
It's the Dirty Dozen.
The Dirty Dozen.
The Dirty Dozen. I don't think they'll be a fan of that. I don't think the NCAA will adopt that. But the day between the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, I think we need to name the 12. We'll let our readers go to work. And hit me up on the artist formerly known as Twitter, Michael P. and RVA. 833-804-0910 is the phone number. Every last one out, turn out the lights at Virginia Tech. Lynn Kidd is committed to Miami. Tyler Nickel is in the portal. Kenny Brooks off to Kentucky. Georgia Amore on the women's side out. And on the men's side, I had said we were at the ACC tournament. I had said, one of the things I like about this Virginia Tech team is they'll probably stay together for another year and you get a chance to build off of something. And they still might, right? You don't have to leave when you go to the portal. You're one foot out the door, but you're allowed to put your foot back in and stay. And we may see some of that. That may end up being the case with these Virginia Tech basketball players. But it's the kind of situation where you can't take anything for granted. You can't be complacent. And this is why we have the coaching turnover and why we have these headaches. And to a large extent, this is why Kenny Brooks is up and out of here and on his way to Kentucky, where he can have more resources, more drawing power, sell the chance to play against Auburn and play against South Carolina and play against LSU and these top teams year in and year out in the NCAA women's, both in the tournament and the SEC tournament and in conference play. It makes sense. So I saw this topic on Tech Sideline, our good friend Andy Bitter over there, among others. Now that Liz Kitley's career at Virginia Tech is done, she's arguably on Virginia Tech's Mount Rushmore of greatest athletes. So the question is, who's there and how does it break down? And I think the Hokies one is interesting because I think Virginia Tech is one of the few schools in America where there's just as much female representation as male representation when you pick your four for Mount Rushmore. You probably have some women's basketball schools that are, say, UConn's probably got. You can probably make a case, obviously, Rebecca Lobo. You know, you get two there, Tennessee with all the great years under Pat Summitt, but you've also got to make room for Peyton Manning and for some other people on that one. But at Virginia Tech, to me, you've got three no-brainers. If we're doing Mount Rushmore, if we're doing the four greatest Virginia Tech athletes of all time, three no-brainers: Michael Vick, Liz Kittley, and Angela Tincher, the softball player who like threw a perfect game against the Olympic team once. She was untouchable. Those three are no doubt no-brainers. They're on the list. Now, this gets complicated if you include coaches as well, because obviously Frank Beamer's got to be on there. You can maybe make an argument for Kenny Brooks. They've had some good coaches roll through there. But we're sticking to athletes only. And I think you've got an easy and obvious three: Vick, Kittley, Tincher. I just don't think you can move any of those three. What they did for the school, for their programs, for Tech's reputation nationally. But then you need a fourth. And do you try for four sports, four representation? So Del Curry, to me, would be the obvious basketball pick. I just don't know that Tech basketball deserves a spot on this mountain, Tech men's basketball. I don't think Georgia Amor's on the list, with all due respect to everything she's accomplished. Recency bias there, I think, has set in. I think in over the long run, Liz Kittley will be the one from this group. It's hard to have two from any given team, any given group. Bruce Allen maybe is my fourth. The sack numbers, it's possible nobody touches those sack numbers for a long, long time. We're in 40 sacks while he's at Virginia Tech. Tyrod Taylor, great quarterback. Was it the golden era of Tech football? It was the sunset of the golden era of Tech football. Things were still very good. He did it, Mikey. He did it. Tyrod did it. There's still some great games in there. Still some big moments. Was it as big as Michael Vick? I don't know. It's fascinating to me, but however you slice it, I've got two women and two men on there. And I think that's probably one of the few Power Five schools, programs in America, where when you tally up Mount Rushmore, it's equal gender representation. And we'll see that swing in the coming years as more schools invest in women's basketball, invest in volleyball and softball, which is a completely underrated spot to invest in. Whatever they're paying Kenny Brooks, by the way, he's going to become the third highest paid SEC coach. The top two, of course, Dawn Staley and Kim Mulkey, make $3 million a year. Whatever he's making between $3 million and the next highest, which is $1.5 million, that's a great investment. Because if you have a good women's basketball team, you're on TV, you're in the spotlight regularly, and it's way cheaper than the men's side. I would invest big-time NIL resources in that side of the house right now. Build a softball team. Build a volleyball team that win. Because those programs get on TV. You can get serious bang for your buck as opposed to chasing football greatness. I think my four, though, Michael Vick, Liz Kittley, Angela Tincher, I think I want Bruce Allen. I think I need two football players on there. And I think representing the defensive side of the ball with what Bud Foster accomplished feels important to me, too. I'd put him on there as well. Of course, if you do coaches, it's a whole different ballgame. You got to open it back up because you have to put Beamer on there. Somebody's going to say you have to put Bud Foster on there. And, you know, I'll shrug my shoulders, but they're not entirely wrong either. It's a fascinating topic. Thank you to our friends at Tech Sideline for popping that one onto the radar. We could probably do that. That's a good summer series, right? We could do that for all the schools. Do the VCU, do the UR, all those things. Right, the VCU, if you add coaches, gets really interesting. I think Shaka would have to be on it. And then where do you go from there in terms of VCU greats? That would be a fun debate going back. But there's real basketball taking place, really, tonight. We've got Houston and Duke. Duke trying to beat a team with a better seed than it for the first time since 1990. You've got NC State Marquette. We'll see if the ACC dominance can roll on. I love, after Clemson won last night, you saw that people were chanting ACC, ACC after Clemson won. Clemson, by the way, is the school that sued to leave the conference a month ago. We won out of here, but we got pride right now. Nothing brings a conference together like the haters. And boy, did the haters come out of the woodwork this year. John Rothstein, CBS Sports College Basketball guy, you remember in January, said, I think the ACC might only get two teams in the tournament this year. We need more of that for ACC unity. Because the ACC is not built on unity. The SEC is built on unity. Like, those people, they're family. They tear each other limb from limb. But when it's somebody outside the family, screw them. like we're rolling with the SEC and we're chanting SEC. ACC doesn't have that. ACC schools don't root for each other in general play. Nothing like the haters to bring it out, though. I love the haters bringing ACC unity at last, something they've tried for a long time. All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Craig Hoffman about the D.C. arena situation. We'll come back at 11:30, break down who the Commanders will take at number two in the draft. Did we get any hints, signs, indications this week out of a pair of pro days? We'll crosstalk with AWOT at 11:45. He's down at River City Roll. Don't call it just a bowling alley. It's AWOD's Radio's home on Fridays. On Fridays, they roll down at River City Roll. Back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Did you know the Odyssey app's free? Did you know it has the rewind button? Of course you know both those things. So if you missed any of today's show, as we reflect on the college basketball tournament, chatted with Gary Hess, named Virginia Tech Mount Rushmore, and I attempted to name Major League Baseball opening day starters, then you can catch it all on the free Odyssey app with the rewind button. And of course, stay tuned for AWOD Radio coming up after this. Grant and Danny will take you home on The Fan. Big night of hoops tonight. Big night NASCAR's in town this weekend. I got one more opening day starter for you. The Giants' Logan Webb, who I know because he got busted for steroids while he was in Richmond pitching for the Squirrels. There you go. See? It's all about name recognition,
memories,
right? No such thing as bad publicity. We'll add reportedly, right? He was suspended. That's a fact. He was suspended. He denies it. He says, you know, what is it they usually say, like they took a vitamin that had, you know, got cross contaminated.
Yeah.
A lot of cross contamination going on. Watch your vitamins, folks.
Watch your vitamins. Somebody told me recently that it was just in the ranch. They gave him the ranch that was spiked.
It was in the ranch.
It was in the ranch.
What is nothing sacred anymore?
Nothing sacred. How could they do that?
A little bit of ranch. I mean, a little bit of ranch isn't going to kill anybody until all of a sudden you're out for 80 games because you had the ranch. I like ranch with my pizza crust. Is that weird? It's okay. It's okay if it's weird. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say it to your face.
Yeah. No, it's it. Other people do. Other people do.
Other people do. I've seen people do ranch like on the pizza itself, not on the crust.
And I think that's gross. So.
Oh, okay. And I agree with that. So we found common ground.
I have one strong opinion in the dressing world. And that is, if you eat a wing, blue cheese. Blue cheese with chicken wings. And like, I'll sit next to you if you do ranch. But if we're splitting wings and they're like, are you doing ranch or blue cheese? They're either bringing both or they're bringing blue cheese, because I'm not dipping it in ranch. Mm-hmm. That's a hard no for me. Will not do it. Somebody's got to draw the line somewhere. All right. So it was Drake May's pro day yesterday at North Carolina. Michael Penix as well had his at Washington. We'll get to that in a minute. But all the major quarterbacks now have had their pro day. We're in the barn. These are the last times we'll see these guys publicly before next month's NFL draft, when we find out who the Commanders will take at number two. So after Jaden Daniels' pro day, his college coach, Brian Kelly, was speaking to a local TV station. And let's hear what he had to say. Please listen closely.
He is going to be so committed to taking care of himself that you don't have to worry about size or he doesn't weigh enough. Lamar's done a pretty good job with his size. I think Mahomes, I wouldn't consider him a giant, because he's going to get the ball out to the playmakers and make plays for Washington.
He's going to make some plays for Washington? Okay, I'm in. Now, I'll add this caveat. I don't think Brian Kelly knows. Let's kill the segment right out of the gate here. I don't think he knows. But I also think he's been around football for a long time, and he has a feel for what's due diligence calls and what's we're looking into drafting these guys calls. And I would guess they made a lot of phone calls to a lot of people in that LSU building. Maybe more so than normal. Maybe Brian Kelly's drawn his own conclusions from that. We know this is a thorough group. The way they approach the coaching search, certainly. They talk to a lot of people. Well, he's slid that in there very casually. He'll make a lot of plays for Washington. Ooh. Okay. I'm in. Sign me up. You know that's my guy. Planted my flag there
back in December. I said, I want the most exciting guy. If you don't know, I want the most exciting guy. And you don't know. And you know, Lewis Riddick on ESPN said he likes Jaden Daniels more than Caleb Williams. Now, that is a minority opinion. You're not seeing a lot of that out there. Caleb Williams, de facto number one, de facto going to the Bears. I think he's probably, you know, a little more swept up in the hype and the performance more so than the actual measurables, tangibles, things the player's going to bring. I think Caleb Williams number one. He's number one on my board. But you're not going to get number one because you pick at number two. And so you got to take the best guy. Is it Drake May? Is it Jaden Daniels? I say this every time we do the segment. This is bad radio. Turn it off if you need to. I like both of them. You can't say that. I know you can't say that. I like both of them. I really do. I don't like J.J. McCarthy at two at all from Michigan just because he's such a known note. He could be good. I want a guy who's been demonstrably good. If I'm using a number two draft pick on a football player, I want a guy who's been demonstrably good on a football field against other football players. And this is no disrespect to J.J. McCarthy. He just hasn't had an opportunity to do that. He's had zero opportunities to be good like that on a football field against other good football players. He might be great in the NFL. And if you love him, trade back down if you think you can get him, because he's not going at two. Trade down, get him, do your thing. Because what's the other thing we heard this week? The Vikings and the Raiders both love Jaden Daniels. They both want to come get him at number two. This is where things get interesting, right? Everybody's done their research. Everybody's gone back to their facilities. Everybody's had their whiteboard meetings. Who do we want? Who can we get? How do we find a way to get those guys? And the word is those two teams love them some Jaden Daniels. So you got a couple options here if you're Washington, right? You can make the pick, take your guy. That's what I think they should do. Take a quarterback. It's so important to have a quarterback. I just think whatever they give you can't possibly be worth it. I think back to the RG3 trade, because Washington traded everything to get RG3. And so you would think that if that was somehow a good move for the Rams, who were on the other side of that, St. Louis Rams, Los Angeles Rams, if that was somehow a good move for them, their team would have gotten way better in the coming years. Should have. They got all the draft picks for all the years. It didn't work out that way. And the Rams didn't get good until they pried Matt Stafford from the Detroit Lions. It's so hard to be that good without a quarterback. It's so hard to have a team that's a perennial contender without a quarterback. Like, you can name off the exceptions. Spare me naming me the exceptions. I know. But the fact that you can name all of them off the top of your head, you know, the 49ers are doing it. Great. Like, and who else is doing it? And Cleveland had a good year this year. Good for them. Is that sustainable success? I don't think it's sustainable success. Hoping Joe Flacco walks through the door and wins a couple playoff games because of your defense. It's tough to do. The good teams have great quarterbacks. You got the number two pick. Turn in the card. Take one of them. I say that loudly because I feel strongly about that, and also to cover up for the fact that I happen to like both of the top two guys, which makes for exceptionally bad radio. Nobody worse at doing this bit than me. I love Jaden Daniels. I'd take Jaden Daniels. If they take Drake May, you're not going to catch me pitching a fit on the air. I'm like, they got a good football player. That's cool. Let's go win some football games. Getting up. Let's go. If they take J.J. McCarthy, be like, at two, you maybe drank a little too much Kool-Aid. There's just, everybody seems a little too invested in making this a three quarterback race. He could be great. We have zero demonstrated on field him doing that. We've got him running a very rigid Jim Harbaugh offense that bears no resemblance to what's going to be done in the NFL at all. And I'm not saying he's going to be bad in the NFL. He might be Tom Brady in the NFL, right? Guy who we never saw thrive at Michigan, and then he gets there and he puts it all together. That's very possible. The other thing I feel very strongly about, and will always feel very strongly about, is I'm not starting my guy week one. Whoever I draft, I'm not starting him week one. I'm letting him acclimate. I'm letting him have some time to learn and grow. And I don't love that Marcus Mariota is the only other guy sitting on that bench right now. I don't love that that's the other option, because I think you want to win games to build momentum. Nobody's tanking in the NFL. I don't think he's the guy to do that. But I'm throwing him in there before I throw the rookie in there week one to have 17 weeks of getting beat up. There's also, they got to find a left tackle, too. If I'm starting Cornelius Lucas week one at left tackle, I'm darn sure not starting Jaden Daniels. I'm darn sure not starting Drake May. You can't do it. So the report from Drake May's pro day yesterday was that Dan Quinn, the Commander's coach, at one point May had a great throw, and Quinn like walked out like, ah, I've seen enough. I'm like, this guy's good. And people are reading into that now. Like, oh, obviously he's a Drake May guy. Look at him putting on a show. The whole thing's a show. I'm glad the public portion of the show is over. It's behind closed doors now. They'll make the right call for them. If they trade, I do think you'll see that trade in the next few weeks. You won't see that trade on draft night. Going into draft night, if they're holding the number two pick, they're going to take a guy. You're going to see him come home with somebody if they head into the draft. If they fly to Detroit with the number two pick, they're flying home with a quarterback. But you also had Michael Penix at Washington, who I like. A lot of people like Bo Nix. A lot of people like Michael Penix. I like Penix as a short-term solution, and he ran a sub-4.6 40 at his pro day yesterday, which got no attention because it was at the same time as Drake May's pro day. If you trade back, I like him a lot. And you know, you kick the tires on that, right? If you find that you like one of these guys enough to take the haul and move out, right? Oakland's at 13. Minnesota could probably get you something in that range. The only thing I don't like about those trades, you're probably not going to get the offensive lineman you want either. You're probably not going to get Fashanu. You're probably not going to get Joe Alt at Notre Dame. Those are the two left tackles who you can build a franchise around. I think they're both going to be gone by the time the top 10's over. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be out of there. I think you got to hang around 5, 6, 7 if you want to get one of those guys. And I think if you don't get a star quarterback, you definitely want to get one of those guys. Other NFL story yesterday, the NFL is taking on $1.45 billion in new debt to help finance projects at its member stadiums. They're swimming in money. They're about to sell these new Christmas Day games for $50 million apiece, taking out loans for $1.45 billion to help teams with their money. That's a business person thing. Like, there's people listening who are smart at business. Like, the thing is, you never want to be debt-free in business. You always want to have debt. Like, that seems like a healthy sign. Like, you're always, because you're always, like, growing or doing whatever. That makes no sense to me. It never will. Good on them. The NFL's growing. We talk about it 24/7, 365. Like, we take a few minutes off every year for July 4th when the league goes on vacation. Then we get right back to talking about them. I can't name baseball opening day starters, but I can darn sure name a lot of NFL players right now. They don't miss. They don't miss in what they do. $1.45 billion loan to keep this thing rolling. Keep us talking about them. All right, one segment left before we close up shop for the week. We'll bring in AWOD Radio from River City Roll. The Sports Business Journal put out a list of the best sports cities for hosting events. I'll read the top 10. We'll get his thoughts after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. All right, cleaning up what we left on the table here today. Capitals lost 5-1 to the Maple Leafs last night. Still an 82% chance of making the playoffs, though. So the Capitals march on as we near the end of the season. Their college basketball tonight, you'll hear it right here on The Fan. And then NASCAR all weekend, Sunday night, under the lights at Richmond Raceway. But right now we go across town to River City Roll in Scott's Edition, where our guy Adam Epstein's getting ready for 3 hours of AWOD Radio. What is up?
What's up, Michael Phillips? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. I feel like we haven't hit the Crosstalk sounder all week, so it seems like as good a time as any to remind you, this is Crosstalk.
Two hosts enter.
Let's get it on right now, all right?
Two hosts will also leave, but in between, all bets are off. This is Crosstalk with MP and AWOD.
Okie dokie, let's get this show on the road!
The Sports Business Journal, Adam, ranked the 10 best sports cities for hosting events. So they named a best city to host a sports event in, and this is a top 10 list. Have you seen this list?
I have not, and I am obsessed with top 10 lists. I mean, it's just Radio 101. That's how you kill a segment. Let's do it.
Buddy, let's go. Would you like to take a guess, top sports city at hosting events?
I would say Vegas, but we were just there, so that's recency bias.
Well, it's not recency bias. It's awesome. It's, it's number two on the top 10 list. Absolutely a phenomenal city to host a sport event in. We had a ton of fun. You stayed in the big Dorito chip. Celebrity sightings all over the place. Everything's super accessible. The food's good. Las Vegas. Number two, I think very, very reasonable selection.
So number one then would be Nashville.
Here's what's wild to me. Nashville didn't make the top 10. This thing's going to fall apart in a hurry on you, by the way.
Yeah.
Atlanta, which I do think is a good sports event town. Great
what?
Venues. I think the venues are good. It's easily everybody can fly in.
That's number one?
No, it's number four.
Oh, okay.
Atlanta's number four. Los Angeles at three. You got weather in Los Angeles. You got SoFi Stadium. You got whatever they call Staples now, the Crypto Arena. Los Angeles is a good weather town. The traffic gets you down there, but I get that. Number one, Adam, Orlando.
Oh.
Now, you...
Yeah.
You went to an event in Orlando recently.
Yeah.
What did you think?
It was a 10 out of 10. I mean, I'm not sure that everyone's staying on a resort property when they go, but that's what you should do if you want to have a great time. And, yeah, there's just so much to do in Orlando, right? Like, I think the reason Orlando's number one is because you have the battle between Disney World and Universal Studios to keep up with each other. And so because of that, they're always competing to come up with the best new restaurant, the best ride, and all that good stuff. And so, and then the Wide World of Sports Complex is unbelievable, right? So I've actually been there twice in my life, once when I was playing AAU basketball, and then again this season to cover VCU. And it's incredible that, you know, they can host soccer teams as much as like 32 fields. They can do basketball. They've got two different big stadiums there. They have like indoor football there that I'm not sure how much they use. I think they might use it for indoor soccer and baseball as well. But the property is just so huge. So I'm not surprised by that being number one.
Checks the box as well. Very easy to get to. You can fly. There's a million flights a day between here and there, unless you're the VCU basketball team, in which case you end up stuck there for 2 days, which is its own thing. Orlando, one. Vegas, two. LA, three. I think we've had the good fortune of being... You know, in Orlando and Vegas recently, I'd probably flip them if it were me.
It's going to be hard for me to say that Vegas topped Orlando.
Look at
that. I mean,
remember,
Disney Day Drinkers Club gave me a BMW to drive around in all week. So, I mean, it was just unbelievable, dude.
Okay, all right. I see what's going on here. Tough to compete with that in the Vegas taxi that smells funny and takes 20 minutes to get there. That's that's very different. Number four, Atlanta. Number five, Indianapolis.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Combine's there. They have the Final Four there a lot. It's a good downtown, good central downtown. Doesn't scream like I'm thrilled to be here, but they do a nice job throwing events.
Yeah, hey, if Mo Ali Cox would host me, I'll be there next season.
There you go. We love our guy Mo Ali Cox. Number six, Arlington, Texas, which is Jerry World and the new baseball stadium.
Now, how many times have you done that, Michael?
I've done Jerry World 100 times, and I have yet to be tired of it. Jerry World is an American phenomenon. There are two NFL stadiums you have to go to in your life: Lambeau Field and Jerry World. Those are the two.
Wow.
And they're in that order. But it is a show and a spectacle and all those things. I don't know how that translates to, like, I guess hosting events just means they'll play World Cup games there. They'll have, like, I think they had an NBA All-Star game there and like a title fight in boxing. Like, you know, the arena's the show. The neighborhood's not the show. There's a Walmart across the street. That's what you're working with ambiance-wise. All right. Anytime. So the Walmart serves as the media parking lot for games. We get it like passes there. When they play the Thanksgiving game, we would go park there. You know, you'd wrap up about 9, 10 o'clock at night. When you left the parking lot, there would be like dozens of cars circling, like waiting to take your spot, because Black Friday was about to start at midnight at Walmart and people were getting steamed up for that.
That's such a wacky.
That is the true Dallas doubleheader. The Cowboys-Redskins Thanksgiving game, followed by a $20 LG TV at Walmart a few hours later that you camped out for. That's Jerry World. Number seven, New York/New Jersey. I find it funny that number six was so specific, and then number seven's like, yeah, all of it. Yeah, come up to New York.
Are they counting Brooklyn? Are we counting the Barclays Center in that?
I think you'd have to, right? I mean, it's in New York. Brooklyn's part of New York. I will say, only Super Bowl I've ever been to that was a de facto letdown was the New York City Super Bowl.
Really?
Because everybody's like, oh, it's the biggest city in the world and the biggest event in the world. This is going to be the biggest Super Bowl ever. But what actually happened was so many people live in New York City are just like, we don't care. Like most cities you go to, like we were in Vegas. Everybody in Vegas was fired up about the Super Bowl being there. You go to even LA the year before, like everywhere you go, Super Bowl's here this week. You go to New York, you're like, can you believe the Super Bowl's here this week? My commute took twice as long as normal. Screw the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It was a little bit like the ACC tournament in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago. Just you walked around town and you did not get the sense that anything special was happening there that day.
So the interesting thing about New York is that there's just so much to do there that I could see, hey, you know, there's a media party here, but then there's like four bars you want to hit on the way. And so maybe, you know, you get lost and don't end up hanging out with, you know, the people you wanted to see because there's just so much going on. That would be my thoughts on New York.
Yeah, they don't funnel everybody into a central place. Like, you know, we were at, you know, the big complex where everybody was in Vegas. Like, everybody was there. You kept running into people you knew and that you wanted to hang out with. Didn't happen there. Everybody was all over the city. Too many spots. Number eight, Houston. I was there for the 2011 Final Four. That was fun. I'd be all right never going to Houston for a sporting event again. Way too sprawly of a city.
I'm going to be a little upset here if 9 or 10 does not include Arizona.
Number nine, Phoenix.
There we go.
Phoenix absolutely rated way too low on this list.
Yeah.
I think I could give you 50 tries and you wouldn't get number 10. This is
Salt Lake City.
Sports Business Journal's list of the best cities to host sporting events. Columbus, Ohio, Adam.
What's their bit? Their bit every year?
They have the Ohio State University, and I'm struggling beyond that. They have a hockey team, right?
I guess the Columbus Crew were really good in the 90s in soccer.
We'll ride with that. I don't know. AWOD Radio, 3 hours of it coming up from River City. Roll on Fridays. He rolls. We're back next week. Have a great weekend. Have a happy Easter. Have a happy NASCAR Sunday night if you're headed out to the race. Hopefully be great weather, a great time out there. We'll be back Monday with more MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.